This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new way to lead off your Sunday with conversation, unique perspectives, and your thoughts and questions on the Hometown Nine. It's Twins Today.
And a swing and a miss and a changeup. That was masterful pitching from Jose Barrios.
I know they know I got a great curveball, so they're looking for. That's when I want that breakable.
Twins Today is driven by the Mauer Auto Group. More than cars.
It's hard to believe that was 15 years ago.
Right?
Time flies, but you know what? I'm in a new role and I'm enjoying it.
Thanks, Derek. Which thought am I? Did I make the top five?
Now, live from Target Field, here is Derek Wetmore.
Hello, good morning, good to be with you, Twins fans. You're listening to Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group, More Than Cars. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore, and I'm sitting out at sweaty Target Field. It's a humid one, and it's warm for this special edition of the show, Independence Day, 4th of July, here. We're getting ready for first pitch, Twins and Royals, so that's a couple hours away, but don't worry. We've got you covered with all kinds of Twins programming. In the meantime, we're going to start with Twins Today. We'll go from 10 to noon. I'll give you the rundown here in a second. After this show, we're going to get Inside Twins. That's with GM Thad Levine and Corey Provis. And, of course, the Edina Realty pregame lineup card with Chris Atterbury. All leading up to first pitch, Twins and Royals. That's with Kenta Maeda and Brad Keller coming up a little bit later today. On this show, we're going to hear from Taylor Rogers in one of our mound visits. We're going to do a little radio revisit with that. We're going to do a mic check with legendary Twins hurler Jim Cott joins the show a little bit later on before his TV duties kick in for the day. We're going to hear from voice of the St. Paul Saints on an exciting week of debuts. Sean Aronson joins the program to talk about, among other things, Jose Miranda and Josh Winder. And then we're also going to hear from a couple of voices on the beat. We've got Royals writer Ann Rogers joins the show in the second half. And we're going to close things up with Betsy Helfand of the St. Paul Pioneer Press, who covers the Twins. Loaded show. As one reviewer called it yesterday, we've got a super fun show for you today. I think I heard that one on the radio. We start today's show with five thoughts on the week that was in Twins baseball. If you listened to every single pitch, thank you, and we'll dive a little bit deeper here. If you checked out for the week because it was a beautiful sunny summer week in Minnesota, don't worry, we'll get you caught up here before first pitch. That's what Five Thoughts is all about, and we start with a story that you probably heard something about even if you weren't paying attention to the Twins this week, and that would be Josh Donaldson's sort of a mini feud with Lucas Giolito. Here's some interesting perspective on it from a recent Behind the Batting Cage segment with AJ Pierzynski.
Number one.
We need more of that. Personally, I think we need more of that. I like trash talking, as everyone knows. I like emotion, and I like people to be real. And listen, Donaldson said what he said, and Giolito said what he said, and then apparently Donaldson went and met him in the parking lot and nothing came of it. Hey, listen, kudos to Josh Donaldson. Kudos to Giolito for standing up for himself. And then I don't know why Ozzie Guillen, because you never want to pick a fight with Ozzie Guillen because he'll always take you to the next level. So that was probably where Donaldson went off the tracks a little bit. But other than that, you know, I like it. I think it's good for the game. I think it gets people talking about baseball, and that's what we need.
AJ Pierzynski likes trash talking? This is news to me when I heard it first, but there you have it, straight from the horse's mouth. The Josh Donaldson saga spilled over quite a bit this week. Yeah, it was a strange note that he went and met him in the parking lot, I guess, because Giolito had said, say it to my face instead of saying it through the media. So that was interesting. As a non-confrontational guy myself, not sure that I would have gone and met somebody in the parking lot over that little tiff, but it was a big moment in baseball. Josh Donaldson, when we look back on this, is, for better or worse, whatever your perspective on this, however you come down on it, he's going to be one of the faces of the crackdown on sticky substances on pitchers' hands and, you know, getting an extra grip or, as some people are saying, an unfair advantage. We can talk all day about some of this sticky stuff, and I've got some numbers and notes and things that we can run through. I just wanted to start with Donaldson because he was story number 1, 2, and 3 for the Minnesota Twins this week.
Number 2.
2-1 delivery, swings at this one, lifts a high drive. This is well hit out into left field. It is out of here! Unbelievable, Shohei Ohtani. He is on a historic run right now. Another homer. That is number 30 of the season. That gives the Angels the lead in the game. 7-6 the score. Ohtani now 13 homers in his last 15 games, and 13 of his last 19 hits have been home runs.
You might be wondering why we're playing a clip of the legend Shohei Ohtani on this Twins program. Well, it's because you just heard his 30th home run. 30 home runs for also a guy who throws 100 miles an hour, the best two-way player, evoking comparisons to Babe Ruth. That's pretty good company to keep in baseball circles. Ohtani's been incredible this year. We could do a whole five-thought segment about him on his own, but I bring him up to bring up the fact that we are going to see run scoring increase. We're going to see home runs go up, and it's not just a factor of warm weather. Bear with me for some numbers here for a second. I was reading the Twitter account of Eno Saris, who covers baseball for The Athletic, and he shared some findings on the changes of the baseball. He was working specifically, it looks like, with Max Bay on these findings. But we are talking about spin rate. We're talking about guys getting better breaking stuff or a better fastball at the top of the zone, if that's their ploy, if that's their tactic. Spin rate can help pitches be more effective, and that's what baseball is sort of cracking down on here mid-season. Well, you might wonder how prevalent it is, and I'll cut to the chase on this one. Eno and Max apparently found that more than 60% of pitchers have seen a spin rate drop after the leaked memo. I think that was June 10th, if I have that date correct. After the leaked memo, statistically significant drop in RPMs was found in more than 60% of pitchers. So more than half the guys out there are seeing some kind of effect. I'm not saying everyone was cheating, even by the letter of the law, because it's important to point out that rosin was allowed. Sunscreen was allowed. And some of these guys were genuinely, I believe, using it as a grip, not as a performance enhancer, not as a spin ripper, not as a fastball enhancer at the top of the strike zone, but just, I don't want this ball to slip away. I want to know where, I want to know with confidence that the baseball is going to go roundabout where I expect it to go, rather than sailing off either the backstop, or you don't want it sliding in, hitting a guy in the ribs. So anyway, the same findings found, it was more like 17% of people who had been using the sort of spider tack super glue level spin enhancers have seen those rates decrease since that leaked memo. That, again, from the work of Eno Saris and Max Bay. So that's what we're talking about here. That's a lot of players impacted. I won't bore you with any more of the numbers, but I ran some offensive study from basically just figuring out, has the run scoring environment changed since this memo was leaked? And it has. The weather could be a part of it. I haven't factored that into this analysis, but if you go on average here, we're looking at a not insignificant difference of runs per plate appearances. That's 0.11 runs to 0.124. That doesn't sound like a lot, but you multiply that over thousands of plate appearances, and here we go. We're right in the middle of the biggest baseball story of the year.
Number 3.
It's tough. Anytime you're making a roster move like this, especially with a veteran player, It's difficult on a personal level. I talked to Matt last night. He was understanding. I think he's looking forward to what comes next and where he can take his career. He's still ready to pitch and make adjustments and wants to keep going. And you know what? You never know how these things come full circle. So you never know where he's going to end up. You could look up and see him out there and doing a good job very soon. And so the roster move was made.
Matt Shoemaker DFA'd by the Twins this week. We don't know the end resolution, but the short version of the story is he was designated for release or assignment. If he clears waivers, if the Twins go that route, which they have 7 days to do, so we'll find out in the middle of this week. Don't expect someone with an ERA like that to get claimed, but who knows? As Rocco said, you never know how these things are going to wind up. So anyway, what could happen is if he clears waivers, the Twins could assign him to the minor leagues. But as a veteran, Shoemaker could reject that assignment, just become a free agent. Or honestly, what might just happen is the Twins could just release Shoemaker. I got to wondering how different this year would have been without this performance, because he didn't see it coming. The Twins certainly didn't see that coming. And their 5.22 starters ERA, if you'd just taken out Shoemaker's runs and innings, would have dropped a full half run down to 4.72. Still not good, and there's still other problems that we can get to, but the possible resolution to the Matt Shoemaker era in a Twins uniform, which brings us to this one, actually.
Number four.
Anytime you're playing and you get some momentum going, regardless of who's pitching, I mean, we've had games like this, it is hard. When you do get some momentum going and then give it back, whether it be at the beginning of the game or really any time, but we haven't really been able to sustain that, and we have given up those leads. And it feels like we've given them up relatively quickly.
Yep, Twins keep giving up runs. That's Rocco Baldelli again talking about giving up leads. You know, you take a 3-run lead in the first inning, you got to like your chances. Home or road, doesn't matter. And unfortunately, the Twins have been giving those back all too often this year. Talk about the pitching really quickly here on thought number four. I'm looking at the innings leaders for the Twins, and the starting pitching leading board kind of tells the story of the season for the Twins. You got Berríos at the top spot. He's got a 3.5 ERA. Then J. Happ, 6.09 ERA. Kenta Maeda, who goes today, 5.56 ERA. Michael Pineda's been good. He could be back relatively shortly with a 3.70 ERA. That's good. Moving on to number five on the innings list is Shoemaker at 7.28. Again, DFA'd by the Twins this week. Randy Dobnak, 6.26. Bailey Ober, 5.84. We'll stop there because that's the bulk of the innings for the Twins. And I think it's pretty hard to escape the fact that that's the story for the 2021 Twins so far, is starting pitching just hasn't gotten them, has not prevented runs in the way that the Twins would have expected coming into the year.
Number five.
It was a big series, you know. It was tough. I guess they showed up, they definitely a better team than us, you know. They do the little things better, you know. They pitch, they hit clutch. Even we show a lot of, you know, the first game was good, and today we show, I mean, we did what we're supposed to do, you know, score against a really tough pitcher. It has been the case most of the year, you know. Tough.
Tough indeed. That's the voice of Nelson Cruz. You can hear it in his voice there, man. Swept by the White Sox. Get one game postponed. But this season, I remember coming into the year, this was supposed to be the new big rivalry, the White Sox and Twins. And it's really, truly a shame that the Twins, you see, you know, let's say the Twins just went like halfway to expectation rather than completely off the rails like this. It would have been fun to see a little race here in the American League Central. The Twins are top dogs. White Sox trying to knock them off. I remember Tim Anderson of the White Sox saying in, I think it was in spring training, about how, you know, we're way more athletic than them, kind of stoking the flame there. And this just looked like it was setting to be a fun rivalry, but you heard it there from Nelson Cruz. They showed they're a much better team than the Twins right now. The Twins against the White Sox, 1-8 this year, with a big negative run differential. The Twins have scored 37, given up 76. That is a minus 39, or about 4 runs a game better than the Twins have been the White Sox this year. So that's obviously a bummer. It's a shame. It would have been a fun rivalry to see. We've got more coming up on this show. That's going to do it for Five Thoughts. If you want more Five Thoughts, I do a column on that. You can follow me on Twitter at Derek Wetmore or Facebook, MLB.com/DerekWetmoreMLB. You'll find the links for those columns. But we've got plenty to get to in this show, so I got to get on with it. When we come back, we are going to hear a radio revisit from Taylor Rogers. And not too much after that, Twins legend Jim Cott joins us for a mic check before his TV duties start today. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Twins Today, driven by the Maurer Auto Group, more than cars, on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Twins Today, driven by the Maurer Auto Group, more than cars. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore, sitting here at sunny Target Field, warm, humid Target Field, on a special Independence Day, 4th of July edition of Twins Today. Loaded show. If you didn't catch the last segment, you can always listen on Odyssey platforms here on 830 WCCO. Just search that online. You'll find where to listen or check the podcast. TwinsBaseball.com/podcast. You can get the link there as well. We are leading up to first pitch today, 1:10 between the Twins and Royals. Between this show and that, we are going to have Inside Twins with GM Thad Levine and Corey Provis, and the Adana Realty pregame lineup card with Chris Atterbury. This portion of the show is a little radio revisit. It's getting us ready. We're going to talk with Jim Cott later. We're going to talk with the voice of the Saints, Sean Aronson. Also, Ann Rogers and Betsy Helfan join the show to talk about the Twins and the Royals. But now, a radio revisit with our mound visit with everybody's favorite left-handed reliever, Taylor Rogers and Chris Atterbury.
Holiday weekend for many. It is a work weekend for Taylor Rogers, and it's time for another mound visit as we visit with Taylor Rogers prior to the Twins kicking off this series in Kansas City at beautiful Kauffman Stadium. And I know it is hot. I know it is humid. I know that that is not unique to Kansas City, but there's a special sort of energy sapping humidity that you can find on a hot day in Kansas City. Is that something that you and your teammates talk about or are aware of as you head into a series like this one?
Oh yeah, we know. Everybody knows coming in, it's going to be hot in Kansas City. You know what else is? They have really, I don't know what you want to call it, dedicated fans to come sit in this type of weather and watch a game. That's not easy. They're here in St. Louis, like I give a lot of people, those people, a lot of credit for doing that.
The series in Chicago was not good. Obviously, the result speaks for itself. You did not pitch in any of those ball games. And I have to imagine as a reliever, when things aren't going well for your team in big spots, that has to be a helpless feeling knowing there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I just sit there and wait for the phone to ring. They tell me when to go in and I go in. And when a series doesn't go well and you weren't able to help the team, you know, that stings a little bit. That's what I like. Part of what I like being about a reliever is you can come in and impact every series instead of just every 5 days. You can have an impact on every game. Even if I'm just down there keeping the left-handed pinch hitters on the bench, I'm still having an impact. But that was tough this week to basically feel like you didn't really have an impact on the series.
Well, and most of the conversation around the series ends up being about parking lot confrontations and Ozzie Guillen's OPS and a bunch of other stuff stemming from the first night, Giolito going back and forth to Donaldson and back to Giolito and what T-shirts anybody's wearing. And I think a lot of people wonder, because we've heard from Josh and we've heard from Lucas, what it's like as a pitcher on Josh's team right now, because as this stuff starts swirling around and all the fingers are being pointed at all the pitchers, you're sitting in the same clubhouse there. Is that an odd spot to be in for you and your fellow pitchers, or is that just Josh being Josh and you guys let him go?
It's a little bit of both, Chris. You know, we're still kind of getting to know Josh a little bit. I know he's been here. This is second year here, but you know, last year with COVID, you didn't really get to know people the way you really would in a normal year. So we're still trying to get to know him. I think once we start to understand him a little better, you kind of understand what makes him tick. And I think that's what makes him good is the way that makes him tick. It's a little different, sometimes controversial, but that's what makes him good. So we just have to realize and recognize that's his path to success. And, you know, each guy has their own little path to success. You just got to let them do that. If they're going to go out there and put their best effort on the field, that's all that you can really ask for. And, you know, we're all adults in the room. We can decide if we want to let stuff bother us or not. Those are controllables, and that's all we can do.
I like that, controllables. And that's a word we're going to hear a lot here down the stretch, because as you try to just find some success, find some wins, first against Kansas City today, then against Kansas City tomorrow, not start thinking bigger picture at this point, controllables is a word I think that is probably one you're going to use a lot, especially, Taylor, moving towards a trade deadline where fans around the league over the course of the last decade, this is the time of year now where everybody just starts from scratch. If you're not in first place, you're it doesn't matter. Let's just pick through the carcasses of the teams that aren't over 500. Your name's going to get bandied around. People say they don't listen or pay attention. Is it possible? And does that fall into the controllables category for you?
Certainly does fall into the controllable category. You know, I think when anytime you're coming off getting swept or you're coming off a bad stretch as a team or even personally as a bad stretch, you really have to simplify and knock it down to controllables. And a lot of times I think when you get yourself into those spells, you start worrying about the things that you can't control. So you just have to take a step back and reset, basically. Unplug it, plug it back in, and get right back to what you control and worry about all you control. It's human emotion to sometimes worry about that stuff and just know that that's okay. But just get back to what you can do on the field. Be professional about it. That's, you know, I think, with the trade stuff happening, you know, I get some stuff about, the going to the Giants and everything. Well, how cool is that? I can't even describe how cool that would be. But what are the chances that actually happens? So I need to get down to what I can control. Right now, I'm a part of the Minnesota Twins. They're paying me to be a good reliever, and that's what I need to do.
Is that something you have to learn as the process of being a major leaguer? I mean, the first part is you have to have a lot of talent, a lot of luck, and stay healthy and get an opportunity, seize the opportunity then to stay in the major leagues. And then as you grow into a top shelf major league player, is learning that whole compartmentalizing, is that part of it?
100%. You know, I think too, it's after a few years in the league, I think your family members, friends and family understand that you don't worry about that stuff. Early on in your career, all your family worries about it, always wondering.
Well, they probably tell you everything, right? You probably hear it after every game.
Exactly. And then after a while, it kind of comes something where they're like, okay, this is the norm. You know, mom's worried that people are yelling at me on Twitter. And it's like, okay, but now she gets it. So she can put that aside and just root for her sons. And, you know, it's just part of the process. You know, it's kind of maturing. You know, they say maturing as an adult. It's the same deal, maturing as a major leaguer. And you always have to keep continuing to do that. There's new problems every year. But that's why you say you rely on veteran presence, because they've been through the steps before. And that's why they're key to having clubhouses.
Yep. And now you are a veteran presence for this club. Great insight, man. I love that. Your mom getting mad at their yelling at her boys on Twitter. Let's talk a little bit about the power rankings this week. We were struggling to find a good power rankings. And I think with the 4th of July holiday weekend, I was going to ask you about fireworks. But when you're a fifth generation firefighter, that's probably a bad question, because no fireworks would probably be the best answer. And even the question I'm going to ask you probably is not going to be answered the way that most people would. Most families have 4th of July weekend traditions, and whether it's a barbecue or it's a fireworks show or it's going to a lake here in the Midwest. What about the Rogers family? Because I'm thinking that's probably a heavy work weekend for almost all of your relatives in the Rogers family.
Yeah. Heavy work weekend. They love going to the firehouse on 4th of July. That's where the action's at. That's why they want to be there. It doesn't help that you get time and a half pay on 4th of July. So that's another reason they were always there. Trying to pay for two boys to play baseball. I'm sure he had to go get some overtime. But 4th of July, Christmas, Thanksgiving, they're always working the holidays. So we always just knew how to celebrate holidays either the day before or the day after. And then that's normal to us. You know, just what we do. It's okay. Santa can come a day late. You know, we're talking about mom. She can send Santa a message and have him come a day later.
That's great. Great insight from Taylor Rogers there on our mound visit, the radio revisit portion of Twins Today. This is Twins Today, and we've got a super packed show today. That is what the critics are telling me anyways. Jim Cott will join us next. 25 years in the big leagues, 16 gold gloves to his name. Honestly, I just want to ask him if he ever used Spider Tech. That's coming up next on Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group. More than cars, don't go anywhere. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO.
Count remains two strikes on Don Zimmer. The Twins are leading 2-1. Two out in the Senator ninth inning of a fast-moving ball game. Pitch. Strike three. The Twins are on the point. Jim Cott with a great performance here after a rocky start.
The Twins win the pennant, 1965. You heard it there. Jim Cott is our next score. You're listening to Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore, but my guest here, man who needs no introduction around these parts, he is Twins legend Jim Cott. Mr. Cott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Nice warm day for baseball.
Yeah.
a little warm for, you know, Minnesota, I think. But, you know, it's so good to get back here. It'll be even better tomorrow with fans in the stands. But it's good to get back here and get reconnected with the Twins and see a little baseball. Feel badly that they're not doing well. But in that clip there with Ray Scott, such great memories, because I became very close friends with Don Zimmer. You know, Zim became the bench coach with the Yankees. And had he not played one more game, I think one or two, that would have been his last bat in the big leagues. He went over to Japan for a year. But
Oh, wow.
He and I became good buddies, and he was the strikeout victim for that last out. So, yeah, that was a memorable day.
I saw a smile spread across your face as you and I were sitting here listening to that clip. Can you still bring yourself back to that that feeling and that moment on the mound?
Oh, no question. You know, it was in Washington, D.C., where we, you know, originated. That's where the Twins came from. But, and the Phillies the year before had blown a 6 or 7 game lead with about 9 to play, and they blew it. So we had a comfortable lead, but everywhere we went, hey, don't forget about what the Phillies did last year.
Sure.
So, you know, even though we had a comfortable lead, I don't think I slept much that night at all, because I thought, we only need to win one, but you don't want to get in a stretch where you lose one, you lose two, and then the demons sneak in. So, and as Ray said there, a little rocky start. I gave up a run early, and Frank Quillacy hit a sacrifice fly to knock in the go-ahead run. And so, I kind of cruised through the last 4 or 5 innings, which, you know, complete games, unfortunately, today don't happen because pitchers aren't trained that way, but it was special to, you know, to finish the job.
Yeah, I was going to say a rocky start and you still finished what you started.
Right.
Nowadays, a rocky start, you're done after 4. So
yeah,
it's kind of funny to hear you say.
They even let me work through the lineup the third time, which they don't do anymore.
Whose arm do you have to twist to get that privilege?
Right.
That's great. The voice you're listening to there, Twins fans, is, of course, none other than Jim Cott on the mic check segment here. We just want to make sure all the cords are working before you do your TV with Dick Bramer here on Bally Sports North today. Fun to have you on the broadcast and part of the TV crew. How many games do you do in a year?
Well, I do 8 to 10 for the MLB Network.
Yeah.
And I did a few 2 years ago for the Twins, and then with the pandemic, that was out. But, you know, there are several former Twins who Dave St. Peter and Drew bring in to do some games. So it was nice when, kind of a spur of the moment, they called and said, would you like to come in and do 10 games, the entire homestand? So truth be known, and I've done a lot of network TV, and I have great respect for it, but you know, it's so much more enjoyable following a local team, doing a local broadcast.
Okay.
You know, you have a fan base that's interested in that team versus nationally, you know, I might say, well, you know, here's Gilberto Celestino. The national audience doesn't know him, but the Twins. So you're really talking to fans that are interested in the Twins, and that's enjoyable. Of course, being back with Dick, as we worked back in the early 90s together on Twins broadcast.
Yeah, I remember. And you guys talked about that reunion the other day, and I would agree with him. He says that you haven't aged a day since you took
that. My body begs to differ, but I do my best.
So I said in the clip, in the opener we were talking about, of course, 25 years in the big leagues, longevity, that's incredible by today's standards, of course. Even by then, that's an amazing accomplishment. 16 gold gloves as well. I'm curious, though, the story of the day in Major League Baseball now is the sticky stuff. There's a difference, in my personal opinion, between using the sunscreen rosin mix to get a little tack on your fingers and kind of work through that dust or mud that's on a baseball. But then there are guys using this really, really heavy-duty stuff that's what they're trying to get out of Major League Baseball. Spider tack, they call it.
Yeah.
Jim, Did you ever use Spider-Cot in your Spider-Tack in your big league career?
Never heard of Spider-Tack. And I get a lot of mileage out of this story, which a lot of my friends get a kick out of. They always want me to tell it. But Jim Honachick, a veteran umpire, came up behind the mound between innings, and he said, "Lefty, I see what you're doing. You're putting a foreign substance on that ball. It's illegal." I said, "Jim, it's not a foreign substance. It's made in North Carolina." And it was the pine tar. You know, when we came out of the dugout, the first thing we did on a cold day in Minnesota is we grabbed the pine tar rag, which the hitters were allowed to use. And today's pitchers, they should have consulted with me. I could show them. I mean, you put a little slit in your glove, or you got ways you can hide it. So they just,
smarter.
Michael Pineda got so exposed with that. But everybody, and we didn't know anything about spin rate, but we wanted to be able to grip the ball.
Yeah, sure.
And out of defiance, because we said, well, why can the hitters use it on the bat?
Yeah.
And we can't use it. Right. So now that when Josh came out kind of leading the charge against the spin rate, which I was even talking to my good friend and former roommate Phil Roof this morning down in Paducah, Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't realize that, when you hear about a 2,400 RPM, 24 revolutions per minute, nobody throws a ball that stays in the air for a minute.
No, unlikely.
So if it goes 55 feet, it only rotates about 15 times. So is that enough, the grip, to actually make that? Now, they say with Spider-Tack it is, but I think the way to level the playing field, and I emailed Commissioner Manfred early in the spring when this came out, hey, we want a level playing field. The pitchers are cheating. They have too much of an advantage. It's okay. Could they put a spray on the ball, which I believe they do in South Korea, to give it a little tackiness just to grip? The balls today are slicker, and the seams are lower.
Yep.
And higher seams, you get a better grip. So here's my proposal, and I ran it past Rico Petroselli last week on an interview. I won't use anything additional to grip the ball, but you step in the batter's box with no helmet, no pine tar on the bat handle, no batting gloves with pine tar, no body armor. And now here we go. You got a bat, I got a ball and a glove. Let's dance.
You want to bring the mound back down to level or something, too, leveling it?
No, I want to bring it up back to 50,
Go back to 1968.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that if they did something to the strike zone, if they said mid-year, if they came out and said, you know what, hitters are, there's too many home runs, there's too many of this, we're going to expand the strike zone starting July 10th. Can you imagine the outcry from the hitters?
Get ready.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But now during the season,
sure,
which in a perfect world they would have said, look, we know what you guys are doing starting next year or starting in the spring.
Yeah.
If they put in my case, we knew what we were doing, but there was no penalty. If I knew then that I got caught using pine tar, it was going to be a 30 days or whatever. So it was kind of a joke.
Yeah.
And everybody additional things, we didn't really doctor the ball like our esteemed congressman, the late Jim Bunning. We had belts then, and he used his belt buckle to scratch it up. Whitey Ford had a wedding ring, which he talks about in his book, on his ring finger of his glove hand, and he would grub, and then Elston Howard would brush it up the shin guards, and there were all kinds of little ways that guys doctored up the ball.
Yeah.
And but I always thought a level playing field would be take all that stuff away from the hitter.
Yeah, I wonder if they do add some tack to the ball or something. Maybe a substance that you say, okay, this is fine. Pitchers, you can use this. They got to figure something out, and I agree with you, Jim. Figuring it out midstream has caused all kinds of challenges baseball is going to have to unpack.
You can see it in the pitchers. I've noticed it just in the games I've done that they go to their pants. They're not getting a good grip on the ball, slipping out.
2-0 count. You need a strike here. They'll go on something, and it sails wide. Well, what do you think's happening? We got to get to a break. But, Jim, this was such a pleasure for me. Thank you for stopping by Twins today.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it.
That's the voice of Jim Cott, obviously legendary Twins pitcher, 25 years in the big leagues, 16 gold gloves to his name. You can catch him on Bally Sports North of the broadcast this week, including today's game, Twins and Royals, so tune in for that. That's it for this segment. When we come back, we are talking with voice of the St. Paul Saints on an exciting week of debuts for the Twins AAA affiliate. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Twins Today on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Drilled towards the gap in left center field. Well hit. This one's gone! How's that for a AAA debut? Jose Miranda in the air towards left field. Well hit. Miller going back. He's at the track. He's at the wall. It is gone! This is ridiculous.
High fly ball out towards left. Long run Miller on the track looking up. It's gone again! Three home runs for Jose Miranda. The kid knows how to celebrate a birthday.
This is ridiculous, and that kid does know how to celebrate a birthday. Exciting week of debuts for the St. Paul Saints, and my guest on the show now is two of those three voices you heard. He is Sean Aronson, the Vice President Director of Broadcasting and Media Relations with the St. Paul Saints. Sean, thanks for making some time. How are you doing today?
Derek, I'm great. Thank you very much for having me again. And it's been quite a week here in St. Paul with the AAA debuts, and I'm sure we'll get into it. But it's been an exciting week out here.
Jose Miranda was the one we were talking about on that clip there. We can get into Josh Winder as well, but let's start with Miranda. Three homers on his debut, including a grand slam. Sean, you were there to witness it. What was that like?
I think there were a little over 7,000, 7,500 people that night, and about 20,000 are going to tell you that they were there. It was that special of a night. You don't get a debut like that every day at the AAA level. And of course, I'm sure, you know, Jose would love to have that at the major league level at some point. But it really was. It was. I had heard so much about this kid while he was performing at AA, and you know, the bar was high for him. He not only cleared it, but he eclipsed it by many, many moons. And I honestly didn't believe it. And I've told people this before. He went 5 for 5 in his first five at-bats, three homers, a double, a single. And the game was like 3.5 hours long, and the fans stuck around to the end to see a sixth at-bat.
Love it.
And this was my favorite part of the night. I've never seen this before. I'm not sure I'll ever see it again. In his last at-bat, he grounds into a double play. And the crowd gives him a standing ovation after he grounded into it. Just the
wow.
Appreciative nature of what they just watched, and they gave him the standing O after he grounded into a double play. It truly was remarkable to watch.
I love it. I love hearing when fans are glued into the game, and that's always been my experience, Sean, when I go over to visit you guys in Lower Town there over in St. Paul. I also saw a clip online, Sean. You have interviewed Jose Miranda. That is something that a feather I do not have in my cap. What is your early impressions of the kid?
He's a great kid. You know, it's interesting to see some of these guys that are 23, 24 come up from AA. They're still young. They're still wide-eyed. They still haven't gotten the media scrutiny from being in the big leagues yet. They kind of fly under the radar despite being, you know, high-end prospects. And so that they do. They have that youthful exuberance, and they haven't been hardened by the game yet. But he is just he's done every single interview asked of him. And I even asked him, I said, look, how do you handle this where, you know, you're being bombarded in the 16th largest media market with all this? You probably have never gone through this before. And he seems like a very level-headed kid. He really does. You know, I know people know the story, but I mean, if he ever wants to know what it's like to really be in the limelight, he can go ask whatever it happens to be, a second cousin or whatever, Lin-Manuel Miranda. He can just turn to him and find out what it's like to be in the spotlight every single day. But he really is. He's such a down-to-earth kid, and just has been so pleasant to be around.
Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton fame, for those of us who are bigger on baseball than we are on musical theater.
I would hope at this point people know who Lin-Manuel Miranda is, but maybe you're right. I probably should have prefaced that.
Well, Sean, I live under a cultural rock, so I just like to protect people who are in my boat as well. Sean Aronson is the Vice President of the St. Paul Saints, Director of Broadcasting and Media Relations. Sean, I appreciate you joining us. We got a few minutes left here. You guys have a night game tonight, a Sunday night game. Celebrate this Independence Day, and I understand there are going to be some fireworks. What could fans look forward to there?
Yeah, it's a big night. We had the similar type of night last night. Drew 8,600 out here. It's been great to have the fans back in the ballpark at full capacity, and tonight more of the same. 6:05 start time. Gates open at 4:30. After the game, there'll be food trucks down on the field, and that kind of bridges the gap between the end of the game and the fireworks show, which is probably about 20 minutes or 25 minutes or so.
That's great. I also want to ask you about the cup snake, because speaking of people who are living under a modern day rock, what do we need to know about the recent world record set over in St. Paul?
102 feet, my friend, 102 feet. And it was quite the night to witness. I mean, we had a big night that night. We had the next bachelorette, Michelle Young, was out here that night. And a matter of fact, they put her up in the booth with me. I mean, anytime I get to interview a very successful, intelligent, and beautiful woman, I take advantage of that. And she was amazing. She really was. She was just the kindest person. And then later on that night, 102 feet, the North American record for largest cup snake. And it was, I'd only seen it once before. I think it was at Wrigley, like a couple of weeks ago on television. And then to witness it before my very eyes was amazing to watch.
I was not going to ask you a follow-up about the cup snake, Sean, because we've got prospects to talk about. But did you say the North American record? What?
That
piqued my curiosity.
Yeah, 102 feet was officially the North American record. I think the world record was at a cricket match in Australia that was somewhere between – there aren't exact numbers, but everything I could find was somewhere between 300 and 500 feet. So – but yeah, this was the North American record, and we were pretty proud of it. I mean, it went started at the bottom of a section, went all the way up to the top, and then curved around on the concourse for a pretty good distance.
If you're looking for a photo of it, Twins fans, it's all over online. You can search Cup Snake and Saints, and I'm sure that you'll find it. It really was something else. It reminded me of the early days at CHS Field when there'd be the dollar cups of beer out there on Thursday nights. And I don't know if we ever built a Cup Snake, certainly not one like that.
No,
but impressive to see nonetheless. And speaking of impressive, we opened with Miranda and a great debut. But Josh Winder, also a great debut for the Saints as well. What have you seen from the pitcher in his debut at the AAA level?
You know, people in baseball use the word nasty a lot for pitchers that have stuff or filthy. That's describes Josh Winder, another well put together kid from out of Virginia Military Institute, really polished kid. And he, I mean, look, Miranda set the bar, right? I mean, Miranda's bar was 5 for 6 with 3 homers. Winder said, I'll match you and maybe top you. He took a no-hitter into the 6th inning and gave up a little bloop single in a center. Like, we were spoiled this week. Yeah. We were absolutely spoiled. Can I say something real quick?
Please.
We're on the home here of the Minnesota Twins. I know a lot of Twins fans are tuning in. I just want to say one thing. Trust the process. Pull back on the reins. Everybody wants to call these guys. Anytime a guy does something big down here, everybody wants to call those guys up in a heartbeat. Like, we see it on social media all the time. After Miranda went 5 for 6, I'll call him up now. Winder has a no-hitter through the 6th inning. Call him up. He deserves to be up here. Just trust the process, right? These kids still need to – they're 23 years old. Trust in the process. Let them kind of marinate down here. Let them go through the trials and tribulations of what it is to be through a season. And if they continue to do this on a consistent basis, which I have no doubt that they will – they will eventually be up in the major leagues. And I know Twins fans don't want to hear patience. They're tired of hearing that. It's been since 90. I get all that. But you cannot rush these kids up here. Just slow the roll a little bit and let them perform here first. And the great thing is you can come out here and watch them.
Yeah.
Anytime that they're here in town, you can watch them. And you don't have to rush them up to the major leagues.
That's right. It's fun to see prospects over at St. Paul. I like it. Share this with you in the past, Sean. I love going to games over there. And now, if you're a Twins fan, you can, when the team's out of town, or if it's a, you know, day game, night game, one of those things too, you can do both. That's the great. I've laughed at this kind of like, well, you got this choice to make now. It's like, it depends how much you love baseball. Sean, for those people who do love baseball and want to get out for the home game, final home game of the homestand today against Omaha, best place that they can go to learn about that?
Yeah, go to saintsbaseball.com. You'll have all the information there, you know, tickets, our promotional schedule, you know, information on our players if you want to dig into that a little bit. But saintsbaseball.com is the place to go. And we had 8,600 last night, which was the largest crowd for this season. We expect it to be even larger tonight. It's been a great weekend out here. And then we're home again a week from Tuesday. So it's been a successful season. This team is playing well right now. Have taken already the series against Omaha, which is one of the best teams in AAA baseball right now. And So this team's hot. This team is hot right now.
Love it. If you want to go see it, saintsbaseball.com, where you can go to learn all about that. Our guest has been Sean Aronson, the Saints Vice President, Director of Broadcasting and Media Relations. Sean, it was great catching up with you, and always appreciate your time.
You too. Thank you, and look forward to being back on again.
Take care. Go Saints. That's the voice of Sean Aronson, as I mentioned, Saints VP, Director of Broadcasting Media Relations. And it was really fun to hear about Jose Miranda, super fun to hear about Josh Winder and his nasty stuff. Boy, two fun debuts this week for the St. Paul Saints. What more can you say? The fact that Cup Snake, the North American record, was not the most exciting news of the week. I think that says something about the week that the St. Paul Saints just had. We've just had a fun first hour of Twins today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group, More Than Cars. Of course, getting to hear from Sean, always a treat. Sean breaking down the St. Paul Saints for us and some of the latest debuts. Before that, Twins legend Jim Cott did his mic check here on Twins Today, and we heard from Taylor Rogers in our radio revisit after Five Thoughts to start the show. But that's not all we have on Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group, More Than Cars. When we come back, we are going to talk with Ann Rogers. She covers the Royals for MLB.com. We're going to hear the opposing viewpoint, and coming up later on, we're also going to be giving away some Twins tickets, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. 651-989-9226 is the number to bookmark. We'll close the show with Betsy Helfand of the Pioneer Press. Don't go anywhere. This is Twins Today. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore, and you're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO.
Welcome back to Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group, More Than Cars. Once again, live from Target Field, here is Derek Wetmore.
Yes, welcome back to the special Independence Day edition of Twins Today. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore. I'm sitting at Target Field right now where it is hot and sunny, and our guest for the next segment, I'm sure, will be no stranger to hot and sunny. She is Ann Rogers, covers the Royals for MLB.com, and kind enough to join us here on Twins Today. Ann, thanks for your time.
Yeah, sure, anytime.
The weather in Kansas City, it looks sweltering on TV. Can you confirm?
It is pretty hot, although I will say we just got back from a pretty long road trip, and it is way cooler than it was when we left. So I suppose you have to, I mean, cooler meaning like 85 to 90 degrees. So kind of have to take it as it comes. But yeah, it's hot and sunny, but I suppose there's no better way to celebrate the 4th of July than sitting out at a baseball game.
There you go. There you go. Silver linings all around. And you're in your first year covering the Royals for MLB.com. And it's been kind of fun to keep up with your pieces on. It's not a team that's probably going to the playoffs this year, but sort of building a fun foundation. What's been your perspective on the beat as sort of what I view as an outsider has been a season of sort of streaks for the Royals? It's been a good baseball team for a little while, and then they'll snap off a long losing streak.
Yeah, it's certainly been the streakiness has been the kind of how this season has been defined for the Royals. They've been really good. They've shown the things that they've wanted to show, and then they've gone downhill, and they are just coming off a 9-game losing streak, snapped out on Friday against the Twins. So it has been that way. You know, they've had losing streaks of 5 to 9 to 11. So they've been kind of trying to ride that wave, you know, snap out of it, see how long they can. They can ride the winning and then try not to let those losing streaks get long. So it's kind of been an up and down season for them, but it is about development. It's also about making the turn towards contending again. So maybe this isn't the year, but the Royals certainly think that in the next few years they can make that turn.
Yeah, it's, well, like I said, it's kind of fun to see them putting those pieces together. They've certainly got some interesting names. Surprising to hear you say some of the losing streaks, and they're still, I say still because I've been following the Twins all year, but they're only 12 games under 500, and I think you hear those lengths of losing streaks and you think that's got to be the worst team in baseball. Not the case for the Royals, and not the least of the reasons for that has been Sal Perez. Obviously legendary catcher already in his major league career. He's heading to the All-Star game again this year. That had to be fun for the Royals.
Yeah, he's been a huge piece. Just from his veteran presence to his leadership to his production on the field. I mean, he's He's so good in the middle of the order. He really carries this team along with Whit Merrifield, Carlos Santana. They kind of really carry that top of the order. And Salvi's right there in the middle of it. He provides the theatrics. He always has a smile on his face while playing. I think that's really what the Royals love about him. And he loves the Royals too. So it'll be fun to watch him in the All-Star game again, starting it, and then the Home Run Derby as well too. I think he's really excited about that, kind of checking that box off of his career bucket list.
Yeah, so a twin killer, no doubt. But if you're a neutral, just a fun player to watch, and clearly, as you just mentioned there, Ann, has fun when he's playing the game. You can't get him off of a lineup card. And I want to ask you, too, about the Home Run Derby. So I was looking at MLB.com this morning. Shohei Ohtani was the first to announce. But then we've also got Pete Alonso, Trevor Story, Trey Mancini, probably comeback player of the year in baseball, and now Sal Perez to fill 5 of the 8 spots. Were you at all surprised to see him included in the Home Run Derby? Because he got the Twins the other day, but I was a little bit, with all the power in the game, I was a little surprised to see a catcher in there.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? He's expressed his desire to do it a few times, so I think that really helped. And anytime you can get that kind of player who just really loves to do this sort of stuff, I think that's good for baseball. And so, you know, yeah, it's a little surprising to see him catching, or, you know, to see a catch come in for the Home Run Derby. But you know, he's been very clear he wants to play all 162 games. He feels fresh. He'll take his days off as DH, but he wants to be in there. He wants to you know, kind of put the Royals back on the map here, and there's no better way to do that on the big stage than the Home Run Derby. So he's excited, and the Royals are excited for him.
I love that. That's really cool to hear, the kind of juice that he's bringing even in July of a long summer in Kansas City. The voice you're hearing is Ann Rogers. She covers the Royals for MLB.com. You can follow her on Twitter at @Ann_Rogers. Important to get the second one there. And I sincerely appreciate you joining with us, and I see that there are only 5 spots filled for the Home Run Derby, so I'm going to try to petition to get Nelson Cruz involved in that as sort of a lifetime achievement home run hitter. I don't know what strings you can pull with MLB.com, but we'd appreciate any help.
That would certainly be fun. Hey, anytime you can get some big time hitters at Coors Field, like, let them have it. That's going to be really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let me ask you one final as we let you go here, though. You know, Whit Merrifield, they've got the shortstop prospect is Bobby Witt Jr. Just kind of a fun, I mentioned earlier, core of Royals players. They are 12 games under 500 this year, but you can see from afar how you could kind of start to see a team. Well, you know, once Mondesi gets back from his injury, there's a talented team there. From your perspective, Ann, where are the Royals tracking in terms of their sort of rebuild? They're likely not going to win the American League Central this year, nor are the Twins, but how far away do you think the Kansas City Royals are from contending?
I think they're making that turn toward doing it again, and it's going to be about development of their pitchers. You know, they had that really strong 2018 draft class with a lot of college pitchers, and they're beginning to make their debuts. You've got Brady Singer cemented in the rotation, and he's developing at the big league level, and you've got a few guys at the triple league level, triple A level. So it's just about making sure that those guys develop along, and then when those guys are able to establish themselves in the rotation, the Royals are going to have just more of a complete team. You mentioned Whit Merrifield. You mentioned Bobby Witt Jr., Mondesi, if he stays healthy. You've got that Salvador Perez behind the plate. So I think it's coming along. It is going to be about continuing that development. But I do think that in the next few years, you're going to see the Royals make a push here, as long as, you know, they're able to make the right moves, continue that development, and make sure that these guys are establishing themselves at the big league level. But the future is really bright, and you're starting to see the future kind of make its way up with whether it's in AAA or making it to the big league. So that hope and that optimism is certainly pretty high here, and it's just about getting there in these next few years.
Love it. That's great. Ann Rogers, our guest. She covers the Royals for MLB.com. Ann, sincerely appreciate you taking the time on this Independence Day, and enjoy a ball game out there.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it. See you on down the line. That is Ann Rogers. She covers the Royals, as I mentioned, for MLB.com. Follow her on Twitter at @Ann__Rogers. Pretty fun to hear about the developing Royals. Like I said, I know they're not going to win it this year, but they went through after their World Series years a little bit of a teardown, and they might be starting to come back. We'll have to see what this trade deadline holds for them. That's the other thing I wanted to ask her about, but we are up against a break. I'm fascinated to see it, though, honestly, because they have some good players, but they also would have some valuable assets if teams came a-calling. I know a team sort of like that as well. That's our opposing viewpoint, I guess you'd call it, on this Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group, More Than Cars. Coming up in a minute, we are going to talk with, we're going to get some perspective from the Twins ticket office about everything going on here for the grand reopening week at Target Field, 100% capacity starting tomorrow, Twins and White Sox. This is a special edition of the Twins Today program, a 4th of July Independence Day edition. And don't forget, after this show, because we're done at noon here on the air, but coming up all across our network, we've got Inside Twins with GM Thad Levine and Corey Provis, and then the Edina Realty pregame lineup card with Chris Atterbury, all leading up to first pitch with the Twins and Royals coming up here. But this break that we've got, you're going to want to listen to it. I'll leave it at that. I'll say if you're interested in tickets, this might be the one. And trading the phone lines out here, we've got Jeremy, as we do every week on Twins Today, joining us to talk about what they've got going on at the Mauer Auto Group. Jeremy, how's it going today?
It's going great. It's 4th of July. Can't get any better than this.
Yeah, happy 4th to you. I hope you get a little down weekend here to celebrate with some family.
Oh, yeah. We always talk about the Mauer Auto Group and More Than Cars and more than this. Well, they I've never heard of this in the car industry before, but they gave us yesterday off. So the whole entire company got to spend the 4th of July weekend with their family. So it's been a great weekend.
I'm glad to hear that, Jeremy. And I'm curious, we're going to get into a special giveaway you told me about here. But first, I want to know, what's the latest? What's new at the Mauer Auto Group here in July?
What's new at Mauer Auto Group this July is we're getting inventory. Over this past week, we just keep seeing truckload after truckload after truckload come in. A lot of them are pre-sold. So if you're driving by and you say, gosh, it doesn't look like they're getting any cars, we are. We're getting more cars than anybody else around town. And we have the trucks, we have the Tahoes, we have the Suburbans. We've got so much coming in. You just stay tuned. You keep coming to us, we'll keep selling you the cars and we'll keep getting them for you.
I was going to ask you, that's been a challenge industry-wide.
It has been a challenge. We joke about it at the store because, I mean, what else can we do about it? But, I mean, between our two stores, we started out with, 7 or 15 cars this month, and we ended up selling almost 200. So when you do that math, it doesn't seem to make sense, but that's how we do it. We're selling what's coming in, we're getting it in for you, and we're delivering on our promises.
Mauer Auto Group is pitching in to give away those 10,000 baby blue jerseys to Twins fans this week as part of reopening week, as we're calling it. The baby blues are going to be a hit, but Jeremy, you guys have even more up your sleeves.
Yeah, we thought, it's going to be a sea of baby blue, so it'll be fun just to see it. And we're going to give away 5 4-packs of tickets. So that's going to be 20 fans are going to get to go to that game at no charge and just be part of. It's going to be a neat thing to see.
That is courtesy of the Mauer Auto Group. And we'll give away those tickets right here on this show on Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group, More Than Cars. Jeremy, if it's all right with you, producer and I were talking about lining up some callers for the 11:30 segment. Give us a call, 651-989-9226 is how you can call Twins Today. Question or comment on the Minnesota Twins, and we're going to send you to the Twins game courtesy of the Mauer Auto Group.
I've been to so many of these. They have so many fun promotions going on all summer long, and this is going to be a neat one. This is going to be fun.
Looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to giving away some of those tickets courtesy of the Mauer Auto Group. Jeremy, thank you as always for the Mauer Auto Group support, and thank you for your time today. Happy 4th to you, sir.
Yep, happy 4th. Everybody have a safe and happy 4th of July from the Mauer Auto Group.
All right, welcome back to Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group, More Than Cars. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore, and delighted to be joined by the Senior Director of Ticket Service and Retention for the Minnesota Twins. He is Eric Hudson. Eric, thanks for making some time for us today.
Hey, Derek, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Yeah, me too, because it signifies the reopening of 100% capacity at Target Field. You guys have got to be pretty excited about this rollout in reopening week, as we're calling it.
Yeah, we're really excited here down at the ballpark. You know, it's been a long, 16 months, and now to get back to full capacity here at Target Field, our offices are jumping. We can't wait to see the fans back. We've got some pretty cool things going on at the ballpark, on July 5th, celebrating the reopening. So we're really looking forward to it.
Us too. And you mentioned some of the special things at the ballpark. I've heard whispers, I've heard snippets and stuff. Can you overview for Twins fans listening to this right now? What kinds of things can we look forward to this week for reopening?
The main thing on July 5th with the White Sox is that we will have an all-you-can-eat component for all fans. Typically, we have that in specific seating areas, but on July 5th, it'll be throughout the ballpark. Of course, there'll be specific menu items, and we'll still have some of our paid items available, but your standard ballpark fare will have an all-you-can-eat component just to say thank you for all the fans that have stuck with us through this time frame, and welcome back to Target Field.
We had Chef Kurt on the show last week, and he was telling us about some of the opportunities there. Our first question, are you going to dig in on any of this all-you-can-eat? But second question, what can Twins fans look forward to? What kinds of foods?
Well, first, the answer to your first question is that I've got kids. So, of course, kids are going to dig in. We'll probably, the Hudson family will do its fair share of damage, I guess, with the all-you-can-eat component. Looking at your hot dogs and popcorn and soda and those types of things, your standard ballpark fare, peanuts and that type of stuff that are going to be available from an all-you-can-eat component.
Love it. That's great. I love that the Hudson, the whole crew is going to come and do some damage at Target Field. His voice is, that's Eric Hudson. He's the Senior Director of Ticket Service and Retention for the Minnesota Twins. We're talking about all things reopening week here at Target Field just after the 4th of July. And one of those things that's coming back at Target Field this year after obviously on pause in 2020, the Twins Pass. Pretty popular in 2019, I remember, for fans who maybe don't remember or might be interested in sort of it's almost a season ticket pass-esque, but I guess if you could overline the differences there for me, Eric.
Yeah, it's a great package, and it's designed to promote complete flexibility in coming down to the ballpark. And for $59 a month, you've got access to attend every Twins game for $59 per month. So in a sense, it's similar to a season ticket package. The difference is that this is in our standing room area, so there isn't a seat associated with that. This provides you access to the ballpark. But for $59 a month, you can come on down, see some great Twins baseball, and it'll go on from here to the end of the season.
And you mentioned that it doesn't come with a seat, but I know a lot of people just kind of like to wander around the ballpark anyways. Can they still get into some of the bar out in left field or the new Truly on Deck in right field? Are people still able to get to those with the Twins Pass?
Yeah, of course, Derek, and thanks for just bringing that up, is that that's the beauty of this package. You still have access to all of the areas, the hangout areas, I guess, that I like to call them, that have made Target Field so popular. Have your food and drink there and still have access to seeing Twins in Major League Baseball.
That's 14 games in July, so Twins fans, you can do the math on that if you'd like to for $59. That's tough to beat. I'm curious, though, about Eric, about people who might want to come with their group. You and I were talking offline a little bit about some of the suite packages that you still have available at Target Field. What are the options remaining, I guess, not only for 2021, but then does that impact next year as well?
Yeah, we've got our premier suites are available. It's a great way to come on out with family and friends to visit Target Field. You have access to your own, of course, personal area for you and your guests. And as we open up back to 100%, those suite capacities will go back to 100%. They start as low as 16 people. So it's a great opportunity to get some food and beverage and have your own sort of private area to enjoy the game. We've also got suite and party areas for groups larger than that. But, we're pretty excited to get all of those back open and available for fans to come on out and see. In addition to our suites, we also have our normal group areas and discounts that we have on group tickets if group size is larger than 25. It's a great way to sort of do the things that, that we enjoy about Minnesota and get a group of people and come on down and cheer the Twins on as we have those, as you said, Derek, those 14 games in July. So we've got a pretty strong schedule, you know, some great weekend dates. If you're interested in calling in, we'd have you call, you know, 612-375-7454, and one of our representatives will help you out.
Could you give that number one more time, Eric? And I'm also curious, a website, the quickest way that people can get that online.
Yeah, it's 612-375-7454. You can also visit us at twinsbaseball.com and click on the tickets icon, and we have all of our opportunities that are available. Twins Pass, our group opportunities, our premium seating, all that stuff is available. And you also, we also have a chat functionality on our website, so you can also reach one of our representatives via chat, and we can answer any questions.
Love it. Once you were able to open Target Field back up, it was in a limited capacity, and I know that the Minnesota Twins made a strategic decision or being very mindful about slowly reopening so that they could do it safely. As we now scale to 100%, I'm reminded of those season ticket holders who were able to take advantage of some of those early tickets in 2021. Does that carry forward, I guess, is my question. If you get in line now, is there any kind of priority, I suppose, that you can carry going forward?
Yeah, I mean, if you got in line in one of our season ticket packages, the locations that you would be available for you now would carry over to 2022 and however long you maintain being a season ticket holder with us. We've got some great opportunities too. One, which is our relocation opportunity, which allows our season ticket holders once a year at a chance to go in and look at any other additional inventory that might fit their needs that they may move their tickets to in order to get the best seat that fits them. The goal from us and our staff is to make sure that our season ticket holders get into a seating area that they're comfortable with and that they like, which may not be at the start, but hopefully as you continue to stay with us, you get rewarded for doing that. So yeah, establishing your priority allows you to get best seats at the best price and, you know, establish that relationship.
Remember my first year at Target Field, I really liked standing out in center field and just looking over everything. I felt like I could see kind of the whole park. I could see everything going on. You have a favorite spot at Target Field, Eric?
Yeah, I do. And it's a little bit different. Actually, I like down the lines. My favorite spot is where you said it is. I actually like center field, and I actually like up by the Minnie and Paul sign, because you're right, you can see over everything. It feels like this big, huge ballpark. And The difficulty with that is that you kind of have to turn your head and look at the scoreboard. So I also like being down the lines there where I can come out with our ticket sales and service booth at 102. And we've opened up some standing room area there to allow for a better flow and space. You can kind of walk out there, and I'm right down the right field line there, and I can see the pitch, and I can see the scoreboard, and I can turn around and I can look into downtown, and it's just such a great feel.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. I love that little addition there. That's the voice of Eric Hudson, Senior Director of Ticket Service and Retention for the Twins. The phone number 612-375-7454, or just go to twinsbaseball.com. You'll find the tickets tab. Eric, I really appreciated getting to chat with you a little bit here, and happy reopening week to you, sir.
Hey, Derek, thanks for having me on. You have a great weekend. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Sounds great. Don't go anywhere, Twins fans. You are listening to Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group. More than cars. Back after this with more baseball on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back, Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore. I'm sitting at sunny Target Field. They're kind of getting it ready for an upcoming homestand, a homestand that will feature 100% capacity, mind you, at Target Field, or at least the possibility of it. We are waiting around. We are going to hear from Betsy Helfand, who is in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium covering the Twins. We're going to hear from her in mere moments, we believe. We're hoping to grab her by the end of the show, but of course she's got duties for the St. Paul Pioneer Press to take care of. Before we do that, let's take some calls. I mentioned in the Mauer Auto Group break there, again, Twins Today driven by the Mauer Auto Group, that they're going to send some people to the Twins game. We're going to give away 20 tickets here to the Minnesota Twins game on July 9th, that versus the Detroit Tigers. And just a little bonus, the Mauer Auto Group is also giving away
baby blue Twins replica jerseys for that game. So if you are one of the lucky, 10,000 fans or so that are going to line up outside Target Field, I'm sure it's a pretty sweet giveaway, if I'm being honest. 10,000, the first 10,000 fans are going to get those baby blues courtesy of the Mauer Auto Group. Of course, our friends on the show here on Twins Today. So while we wait for Betsy, I have been wanting to hear from Twins fans all morning, and we've got a couple people lined up, it looks like. So you can call 651-989-9226. That is what Jeff in Burnsville did. Jeff, thank you for calling Twins Today.
Hi, Derek. I guess the question is Miguel Sano. What do you see for him in the future? Right now he's just playing just part-time. Do you see him being a full-time player next year, DH, or what do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jeff, and I appreciate you calling in. Jeff, why don't you hang on the line, too, because our producer is going to make sure that you get that four-pack of Twins tickets for the July 9th game. And Miguel Sano question came up last week, and it's not an easy answer. I don't personally think it's an easy path forward for the Twins. Firstly, because he's got the contract. It's locked in. It's guaranteed. So the Twins have no incentive to run away from this project. But make no mistake, it is a project. Too much swing and miss in his game, and now he's kind of a platoon bat, as you just mentioned, Jeff. The weird thing about it is with Alex Kirilloff stealing kind of the lion's share of playing time at first base, and rightfully so. Kirilloff can sting the ball and looks like he holds up well at first base. But Sano's playing against some lefties, and that just has not gone well for him at all this year. The plan, I guess, is stay the course. He's got to play his way out of it in a part-time role. You love the power. I love the fact that he could go out to right center. Watch him in batting practice, and you see some of the just incredible power display. But, of course, batting practice is not a big league game. So the strikeouts are too much, and there was a big game in that way this week. Jeff, I don't know, kind of talked around the answer to your question, but I think the only thing the Twins can do, stay the course and hope there's another hot stretch hiding right around the corner. That'd be a good pick-me-up for this team, and it gets Sano in the lineup a little bit more. We've got some more callers lined up here on Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group. The Mauer Auto Group wants to send you to the Twins game July 9th versus the Tigers. Phone number 651-989-9226. You can call me and get on the show. I want your thoughts, your opinions on the Twins, just like I do Mary in New Brighton. Mary, I appreciate you calling the show. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I was just calling because I was wondering when Brian Buxton will be coming back.
Good question. Mary, I will answer that in a second, but first I want to let you know, hang on the line here. Our producer is going to make sure that you get that four-pack of Twins tickets to the July 9th game. Buxton's return, your guess is as good as mine, I think, Mary. I don't know that I have a better answer for you. Just a very disappointing injury when he gets hit in the hand shortly after his return from the lengthy hip rehab. He's got a boxer's fracture, I believe it's in that left hand, and the initial prognosis that I had heard, it was going to be weeks, you know, not days, just like they had said with his previous injury. 4 to 6 weeks is what I think when I hear that. I will keep you updated on this show as we learn more about Byron Buxton, of course, but I don't think his return to the lineup is imminent by any means. And remember the last time, too, even when he was deemed healthy enough to go out on a rehab and we thought, hey, Buxton's coming back, it could be this week. I remember saying on this show that Buxton's return must be right around the corner if he's putting on a St. Paul Saints uniform. Just head on across the river and put on that Twins uniform. And instead of being any day now, it was a while after that. They really wanted to make sure that he was 100% before he was in the Twins lineup. I'm at Target Field. All I can say is haven't seen him doing the baseball activity today. Typically with a fracture in your hand, that's going to, A, set you back to get on the field, and then, B, once you do start swinging a bat, you look to see, hey, is this affecting you? How is this impacting your swing? Is there pain in your swing? Can you do the things defensively that you need to do? Kind of a long-winded answer, Mary, but I hope I answered your question there, and I hope you have fun at that July 9th Twins game. Maurer Auto Group wants to give you tickets. I see a couple more on the line here, and we'll go to those if you do want to get your calls in for me or for Betsy Helfand, who we're hoping joins the show pretty soon. You can call 651-989-9226. That's how you can join Twins today, just like John and Eden Prairie did. John, first, I appreciate you calling Twins today, and what's on your mind today, sir?
I just want to thank the Maurer Auto Group, and don't count them out. Fans back in the stadium that make a run.
Love it. I love the optimism, John. When you do come out to Target Field, what's your favorite part about the experience, if you don't mind my asking?
Just having my kids out there at the game.
Nice. If we're giving you these tickets, are you bringing your kids to Target Field?
I will be.
Love it. That's great to hear. John, hang on the line. We'll make sure the producer hooks you up with the 4-pack of tickets there. And, man, have fun with your kids. That should be a fun one at Target Field. I appreciate John calling, and we're going to keep rolling here with callers because we got some more tickets to give away. Darren in Wilmer has a question or comment about the Minnesota Twins. Darren, what's going on? Thanks for calling Twins today.
Hey, Derek, nice show here. I always enjoy listening to you every Sunday morning.
Thank you.
And, the question I have, Derek, is when are the TV announcing crews and the radio announcing crews, when are they going to be allowed to travel with the team? You know, it's just a little bit different. It would be a lot nicer to have them on site, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I absolutely know what you mean, Darren. Kind of in a tough spot here because I don't know the answer to that question. I wish I did, but are you a longtime Twins fan? You catch games on TV or radio? Which is how do you take them in?
Well, probably about 50-50 both ways,
okay.
Depending on where I am with work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've been 40-plus years here, been a fan of the Twins, so
love it,
and you know, and stuff. So yeah. I hope to see them back on site as soon as we can because it's just better that way, and I know it makes the job easier for those guys too.
Yeah, Darren, sure appreciate you calling in and appreciate you following. Hang on the line here if you don't mind. We'll make sure the producer can set you up with a 4-pack of Twins tickets to get on out to Target Field on July 9th versus the Tigers. I've got one more to give away, and I don't see a caller on the line. So if you want to call in, there's one left, 651-989-9226. That's how you can get in. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to take a break because I've just gotten word that Betsy Helfand of the Pioneer Press is going to join the show. She's at Kauffman Stadium covering Twins and Royals, and we'll hear from Betsy. And I want to give away one more pack of Twins tickets. 651-989-9226 is the number you can call to reach me for that. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Twins Today, driven by the Maurer Auto Group here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Welcome back to Twins Today, driven by the Maurer Auto Group, more than cars. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore, and I'm sitting at Target Field. I've got a guest coming up who I'll introduce in a second. She's sitting at Kauffman Stadium. She covers the Minnesota Twins for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. And, Betsy, I didn't tell you this on the text, but we're going to give away some Twins tickets to start the show. So without further ado, let's welcome Betsy Helfand into the conversation. Betsy, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Derek, it's great to be talking to you.
You're at Kauffman Stadium. I'm at Target Field. I don't know which one of us has a higher temperature or relative humidity right now, but they got to be close.
Oh, my God, it is very hot here. I am definitely sweating. It's very humid, too.
All right, well, you and me both, happy 4th of July to you. I'm actually, you probably know this about me, but I might be the only one in the press box capable of getting a sunburn sitting in the shade here at Target Field. So we'll try to stay safe out there. And, Betsy, we're going to give away a couple of Twins tickets. So I don't know what the first question is going to be, but let's go to Pauline in North Mankato. She called into Twins Today and wants to win Twins tickets to the July 9th game versus the Tigers. Pauline, thanks for hanging with us. What's your question today?
You know, my question is about pitcher Smelzer, when he'll be back or how he's doing.
Love it. That's a great question. Pauline, why don't you hang on the line, make sure that our producer can get you a four-pack of Twins tickets to that July 9th game. And I'm actually going to defer on this one because Betsy covers the team closer than anybody. Betsy, what have you heard the latest? Devin Smeltzer pitched a little bit, and then we haven't really heard from him since.
Yeah, it sounded like, so Rocco said a couple days ago, it sounded like he suffered a little setback with his back. And Rocco had indicated that it doesn't sound like he's going to be back soon. He's down in Florida, and he was originally there for the elbow, kind of finishing up his rehab, which sounded like it was, you know, getting a little bit closer to a return, suffered a setback, has a back issue now. It sounded like, I don't know, you know, an exact timetable, but it sounded like it would keep him out for quite some time, and it's tough because, you know, at the beginning of the season, we were going into it talking about, you know, Smeltzer, Dobnak, and Thorpe, you know, being depth options, and all of them are injured right now. Mm.
Yeah, you're right. I that's too bad for Smeltzer. I, you know, hope that he can come back soon. But as Betsy indicates, they're possibly not in the immediate future. Tell you what, listeners, Twins fans, caller Darren from the last segment, who had won tickets, he generously gifted them back to the pool. So we do have one more four-pack of tickets to give away. 651-989-9226 is how you can win those. Call in, and you can either ask me a question, you can ask it directly to Betsy. She knows more about this stuff than I do anyway. So call in 651-989-9226, and we'll get your question or comment on Twins today. But Betsy, since I don't see someone currently on the line this second, I'm going to sneak in a question for you, and that is Josh Donaldson. He left the game yesterday, and I think if you're a Twins fan and you turn the TV off then, you think he could be down for a while. But I listened to Rocco Baldelli after the game, Betsy. It didn't sound like it was as seriously hurt as we had maybe feared. What's the latest with Donaldson?
Yeah, I think there was kind of, you watched it, and it looked, you know, pretty similar to what he went through on opening day, where there's kind of a little hitch in his gait when he's running. He gets the second. He doesn't slide. You can tell kind of something's up.
Yeah.
He felt tightness in his hamstring. But Rocco said yesterday, and Rocco said again this morning, it doesn't necessarily seem like something that they think is going to keep him out for too long. So they'll probably, he's not playing today. They'll use today, probably, you know, tomorrow again to evaluate, and then kind of see where he's at, see if he can get back on the field. But, you know, preliminarily, like, it does not sound as bad as it might have looked, you know, initially kind of watching it.
Yeah, which is good news because I think we both remember the game in Milwaukee when he goes and he rounds. He's first plate appearance of the season. He strokes a double, and you see him kind of jump hop around first base, and we know that put him on the shelf for a while. So that's good news to hear. Betsy, appreciate your firsthand insight on that. And I mentioned before that we are going to give away one more pack of tickets for reopening week here at Target Field, getting back to 100% capacity officially. And I see one more caller here wants to get in on Twins today. He is Michael from Minnetonka. Michael, thank you for calling the show. What's going on today?
Not too much, Derek. Just waiting for the ball game to start.
Love it. You had a question, it looks like. I'm sorry.
I have kind of a question and a comment to go with it. I'm wondering what you attribute the Twins' relative collapse to this year. When you compare the club from 2 years ago that won 101 games, it reminds me a little bit of the 2011 club that really collapsed after a very good 2010 season, when I think the Twins won like 94 games in 2010, their first year at Target Field. And so I'm kind of observing the 2011 versus 2010 Twins with the 2021 and 2019 Twins, and wondering what's your take on, you know, on this club collapsing like it has from such a successful year.
Yeah, it's a fascinating comparison, and I appreciate you calling the show, Michael. And actually, Michael, I will answer that, but if you would hang on the line here, so make sure that our producer can get you that final four-pack of Twins tickets to the July 9th game versus the Detroit Tigers. And don't forget, I guess if you show up early, 10,000 baby blue replica jerseys, courtesy of the Maurer Auto Group, on that day. The comparison, I guess I'll make it a quick one, is I think in 2011 it was similarly unexpected. And where I'll stop the comparison is I don't think that this will lead to a five-year sort of drought, if you want to call it that. I don't think this turns into the bottom falling out of the Twins. They just have so much depth. And I guess to make another comparison is, like, injuries did play a part in that. You look up and down the 2011 roster, it's Drew Butera at catcher instead of Joe Mauer. You know, it's Tsuyoshi Nishioka playing meaningful games, 240 plate appearances for the Twins that year. I mean, you know, the pitching, we are familiar with that pitching staff because that kind of bridged, straddled the line from the 2010 Twins that opened Target Field so successfully, and then, you know, 11, 12, and on. It was not a very good couple of years for Twins baseball. I would say, if you allow yourself to be optimistic, as I do, I just don't see this turning into what it turned into then. So, I don't know. Maybe that's fair. Maybe that's unfair. But either way, Michael, I certainly appreciate the question and appreciate you listening to Twins Today. Hey, Betsy, one of the things that we are wondering here, I'm sitting at Target Field and kind of start to look at the pitching and piecing it together. Of course, the Twins DFA Matt Shoemaker this week. We'll see a resolution on that in the next couple of days, I would imagine. But Mike Pineda is a guy who's actually among the Twins starters who've pitched any meaningful innings, has been one of their better options this year. But he's hurt right now. Do you have an update for us, maybe from Rocco today or just from being around the team? When can we expect Big Mike to be back in a Twins uniform on the mound?
Yeah, it sounds like it's coming soon. It sounds like they are comfortable with where he's at physically. I think he got up to 75 pitches in St. Paul. Results, yeah, maybe not what you're looking for, but physically it sounded like it was a kind of successful start all the way around. It doesn't sound like he's going to need another rehab outing. So at this point, it looks like, you know, they have two starters lined up for the next series, and I think there's a TBA for the next game, and, you know, they haven't said it, but it's believed that would be his day. Trying to do the math in my head, I believe that would be his day, and I think it's possible we either see him, you know, that day or shortly after. I know they said they wanted to kind of connect with him, you know, get his input on how he's feeling, but it sounds like they're almost ready to slot him back into the rotation.
Nice. Well, your mental math on the fly on the radio is much better than mine. I always cramp out in those situations, so I applaud your work there, Betsy. Hey, caller asked earlier about Byron Buxton return, and I just gave the you know, update, the initial prognosis I heard, but it strikes me you're much closer to the situation. You've talked to Rocco every day. Have there been any updates on when we can expect Buxton, asking on behalf of callers here, when he could even pick baseball activity? He's back up.
Yeah, we haven't heard much recently on him. I think it happened when the Reds were in town. I think they said, I think it was Joey Votto had a similar injury, and I think all told for him it was maybe around 34 days or something. And
okay,
I don't know if you can take somebody else's timeline and apply that to Byron, but I think probably somewhere in that range, maybe a little bit longer. I don't know. We haven't heard much recently on his status. I think once the team gets home and they're able to kind of connect with Byron, Rocco might have, you know, a little bit of a more concrete update. But he's always one to kind of stay away from solid timelines, just to not put those expectations on. But I'm sure we'll be hearing more about his status soon.
Are we talking about the same Rocco Baldelli, you and I? That's well, hey, I wasn't expecting a big substantive, because that's kind of how it goes early on. If it's going to be a long period of time, even a beat writer, you're not getting a daily, you know, how's his pulse doing and all that. When we get a substantive update, you'll hear that from Betsy. And by the way, our guest, if you're just joining us, is Betsy Helfand, covers the Twins for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. You can follow her on Twitter at Betsy Helfand or find her work at TwinCities.com covering the Twins. Betsy's at Kauffman Stadium. I'm at Target Field. We're wrapping up Twins Today in just a few moments after this. Inside Twins with GM Thad Levine and Corey Provis. than the Edina Realty pregame lineup card with Chris Atterbury. Betsy, there's kind of a, you and I have been through a number of trade deadlines working shoulder to shoulder, and it's kind of a weird time. When you're a good team, it's really exciting. You think about all these names that you could circle and add. What's it been like, the dynamic for the Twins, knowing that some of their good players are coming up in trade rumors now? I'm thinking, you know, Josh Donaldson, Nelson Cruz. What's that like in the clubhouse, to the extent you can discern?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's certainly not where we expected the Twins to be, you know, this time of year. If you had asked me in March, I would say they would be buyers. You know, they are, you know, they'll say something to the effect of, like, we're focusing on, you know, today and what we can try to do, you know, today to help the team win. I don't know how easy that is as a player to kind of push that out of your head when your name starts getting, you know, connected to trade rumors. But that's kind of how they, I would say, projected it outwardly. But yeah, I'm very curious. Obviously, Nelson Cruz is on an expiring contract. He's got a, you know, a few guys on an expiring contract, but guys like Donaldson, you know, it's feasible he could be on the move too. So I'm more curious to see what they wind up doing with guys who are signed, you know, through this season, and kind of how that will dictate, you know, their direction moving forward.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, they could really, if you wanted to really, like, blast a reset button, you're talking a lot of big names there. Barrios, Taylor Rogers, gosh, even Byron Buxton, Kenta Maeda. But if you just want to retool and build for next year, maybe a little lower wattage trade deadline. But Betsy, we are running low on time here, so I got to let you go at Kauffman Stadium and say thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you joining Twins today, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. See you soon, Derek.
Enjoy a ball game. Happy 4th. Bye, Betsy. That the voice of Betsy Helfand, who does a great job covering the Twins for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. At Betsy Helfand on Twitter or TwinCities.com. You can find her work in the newspaper there or online. So that's it for Twins today. Fun giving away 4 packs of tickets to the July 9th game, Twins and Tigers. We did that to callers. If you're just joining us, you can catch the podcast. Go look it up online, or Odyssey Platforms is where you can find that. We're building up to first pitch. Twins and Royals 1-10. Kenta Maeda, Brad Keller were the scheduled starters. Before that, you'll hear the Edina Realty pregame lineup card with Chris Atterbury. And before that, actually coming up right after this show, GM Thad Levine joins. I imagine trade deadline questions may come up in that conversation as well. But I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. I've been your opening act. I feel like I'm opening for Jerry Seinfeld. That's going to do it for Twins Today, driven by the Maurer Auto Group. More than cars, here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
You have been listening to Twins Today, driven by the Maurer Auto Group. More than cars.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.